Okay, for a message this morning, maybe a little shorter than usual, but I'd like to talk to us about the resurrection, and specifically want to look at what the resurrection means for us today. You know, it's one thing to think about a resurrection that happened 2,000 years ago, but I want to look at what does that mean to you and I as believers today? Does that make any difference for us in our lives? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. According to our Bible, it does. And according to what the Apostle Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 15, it does make a difference. I like to read verses 12 to 26 out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." So we see here that Paul is saying that if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then our faith is vain. And it's like this thing that, I'm not sure where that got started, but the April Fool's thing, where we were just fooled and what we're believing in is vain. How would that be if we wouldn't have the assurance of our faith being in something that is rock solid, something that cannot change? The promises of God, when God promises us something, it's as if we had already received it, even though it's down the road. And that is the promise that we have from God through Jesus Christ, that when Jesus said, ascended into heaven, it was the angels that said that to the disciples. They said, "This same Jesus that you saw ascending into heaven shall in like manner come back." And Everett was talking about that. The Bible says that every eye shall see him. Well, the earth is round, and to us, you know, we can't see on the other side of a ball. If Jesus comes from the top and we're on the bottom, or vice versa, you couldn't see him. But our God is not limited that way. And I'm glad for that, because Jesus could be everywhere, and he could appear on all sides of the globe all at once, to where everybody would see him. And that's what the Bible says, every eye shall see him. The promises of God are sure like that. There is no erring, there's no turning aside from that. It is sure, as if we already had it when he promises us something. So this Jesus that was raised from the dead, as Paul is talking about here, in Acts chapter 1, I think it says that by many other infallible proofs. I didn't look up the definition of the word infallible, but when I think of something that's infallible, I think of something that's sure, something that cannot be changed. It is sure, you know, unfailing is probably a word that we could use, excuse me, to describe that word infallible. Something that is for sure, that cannot fail. It is truth. That is the promise of God. So our faith is in these infallible proofs, the Word of God that was inspired by the Spirit of God speaking to men as they wrote this inspired Word of God. So back to the question, does the resurrection of Jesus Christ make any difference to us today? Well, Paul says here that if Christ didn't rise from the dead, didn't resurrect, then we're still in our sins. And all those people that have died and gone believing, having placed their faith in Jesus Christ and died, you know, before now, are, what did it say here? Are perished in verse 18. They which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished if Christ didn't rise from the dead. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ absolutely makes a difference for us. Brother Everett talked about the Holy Spirit. If Jesus promised that when I ascend to the Father, I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, which shall guide you into all truth. If Jesus wasn't resurrected from the dead and gone to the Father, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have come. Jesus wouldn't have fulfilled his promise. So we have that as one evidence. Do we have the Holy Spirit today? Today? How many of you believe that we have the Holy Spirit today? Yes, we do. We have that evidence, the witness of God, God's Spirit bearing witness with our spirit within, that we are the children of God. For those of us who are born again, who are believers, we have that witness within. We have that evidence that the words of God are true. They are right. We have something we can place our faith and our trust in. The full assurance of faith is talked about in the Bible. And it talks about in verse 22, as in Adam all died, it's talking about the natural man because of the sin. And, you know, we like to say they have sinned, but I think we should say we have sinned. We have sinned. You know, it wasn't just Adam and Eve that sinned. You know, if they wouldn't have sinned, then I would have. We die in Adam as because of this carnal flesh that we're in. And he says, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And he's talking about, I believe, the old man and the new man. The old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Because of that, we have sinned because of the carnal nature, this mortal body, this flesh that we are living in. But because of Jesus Christ, we shall all be made alive. And it's talking about the new man, which is created in true righteousness and holiness. And it says, after God is created. So when a sinner, and we all were sinners, a sinner cries out to God, this Holy Spirit draws, and a sinner cries out to God in faith in Jesus Christ, God reaches down, puts his life, his spirit within that person, and the Bible says that we then are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. I don't understand all that, but that's what the Word says. And so he is saying that even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Well, did anything change with his flesh? No, we're still in this fleshly mortal body. But within us, in our spirit, the part of us that is really alive, that is where we come alive when God does that work of regeneration within us. And God gives us his spirit, his life within us. We are made alive. And it comes out of us, as it says in Galatians chapter 5, that if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It comes out in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, and I can't quote them all, but the fruit of the Spirit that's mentioned there in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 comes out of our lives as we are made alive in Jesus Christ with the life of God within us. That comes out of us. That is the life he is talking about here. So absolutely, the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes a difference because we have the Spirit of God. We have access. That veil has been split, has been rent, and we have access into the Holy of Holies, into the lap of God, into the mercy seat, into the very arms of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And that is so important that we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit today, because as it says in Proverbs, I think 29:18, where there is no vision, where there's no hearing from God, the people die. You know, when we don't hear from God directly, we will shrivel up and die. So it's important that we do hear from God. And then he talks about the end of this, about Jesus reigning, how Jesus is the first fruit of rising from the dead, and he's going to reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. You know, what is death going to mean to us when we're on the other side? You know, it looks pretty big to us sometimes now, doesn't it? Because of this flesh that we're in. But when we're on the other side, when the spirit leaves our body and this mortal body falls over dead, where is death? It has no more victory. The grave has no more sting. We are delivered. We are set free. We are resurrected to live with Christ. And I had to think of the verse where it talks about Jesus' second coming, and it talks about the graves giving up the dead, the sea giving up the dead, you know, and from wherever those bodies are, it's almost like there's something, because the Bible says we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So it's almost like the old shell that's out there in the graveyard has something to do with being changed into that immortal body. And it says the dead which are the dead in Christ shall rise first, says, and then we which are alive and remain shall meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what the word says. You know, when the women got to the tomb that morning, the stone had been rolled away, the tomb was empty, there were angels sitting in the tomb there. The tomb was empty. How would that be if we would be at the cemetery when Jesus returns and all of a sudden those graves would open and we would have this visual of glorious heavenly beings coming out of those graves and ascending? And then a little bit later, we would feel ourselves being changed and ascending in the same manner. We'd be seeing Jesus. Of course, we'd probably be looking at Jesus. We wouldn't notice a grave's opening, would we? Because we'd be seeing Jesus. We would have heard that trumpet call. So yes, that resurrection of Jesus Christ definitely makes a difference for us as believers. You know, without that, our faith is vain. We have no hope. We are still in our sins without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 12, verse 24, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I have some seeds here this morning that I would like for each of you to take two of these. These are some kind of purple hull peas, I think, that we had in the freezer. Someone gave to me here some time ago. I don't think they're treated, but don't put them in your mouth just in case. And if anybody would like to have some of these, I've got plenty if you'd like to plant some of these. I think they're called contenders. But anyway, if I have two seeds in my hand here, and according to what Jesus said, a corn of wheat, or if we take this bean right here, this purple hull pea, except it falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone, it says, is what Jesus told the people there. So if you would take one of these and you just put it up on the shelf and you just leave it there and you don't do anything with it, it's just going to lay there all alone. We take the other one, and if we'd have been outside, I would have dug a little hole in the ground with my toe of my shoe and would have planted it. Probably not the right time of the year to be planting purple hull peas, a little bit early yet maybe, but we're after Easter, so they would have a chance at least. And we plant this and we give it a week and we see what happens. And if you want to do that with yours, you know, when you get home, that's fine. Plant one in a flower pot or something and put the other one up on the shelf and report to me a week from now what you see. It says here that except it falls into the ground and die, it's going to abide alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So we have one seed here, one bean, and if that sprouts and it grows up into a purple hull pea plant, how many purple hull peas do you think that plant would produce? Now, I don't have any idea, but it would be interesting to do that. If each of us would plant our seeds, and if we had an 80% germination rate, which these might be a little old, and we would take all of the, if we would plant 50, and we would have about 40 of these that would grow and would produce seed. Wonder how many seeds we would have. And that's what Jesus was saying. If you just lay it up on the shelf and abides alone, doesn't die, it's going to abide alone. It's just going to stay there. But if we plant it, then it's going to make a difference. So Jesus is saying, if we don't cry out to God, we don't cry out to Jesus Christ, and we just keep our lives for ourselves, we just put it up on the shelf. You know, God has a purpose, a plan for each of us in life. And if we just say, well, I'm going to keep my life for myself, I'm going to live my life to do what I want to do, whatever feels good, I'm going to do it, and we don't have the life of Christ within us, and we don't die to self, then what happens? We're like the seed on the shelf. But when we die, we crucify self and we put ourselves into the earth in the spiritual sense, if you will. This old carnal self is crucified. We are dead to self. Then what happens? When Jesus was resurrected from the dead, when he appeared to disciples, it says in Luke 24:45, I think it is, that he opened their understanding so they could understand the scriptures. In John chapter 20, it says, when Jesus appeared to the disciples, it says he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I've been puzzling over that. What does that mean? You know, we believe that we have been given the spirit of the gift of the Holy Spirit. But why did Jesus do that before the day of Pentecost? Because I always thought it was the day of Pentecost that they received the Holy Ghost. In the last couple of verses of Luke, it tells us that after the account of Jesus' ascension to heaven, it says that the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Where did that joy come from? I like to think that when Jesus opened their understanding, when he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, that they were born again at that point. And they were given a spirit of understanding. In Acts 1, when Jesus was talking to the disciples just before he ascended into heaven, he said, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And he says, I think in verse 8, that you will receive power. So the spirit that was given to them on the day of Pentecost wasn't the spirit of understanding, but it was a spirit of power. And I had to think of our Anabaptists, probably not our forefathers, but the relatives of our forefathers that made that agreement with the authorities over in Europe, that in exchange for peace and for no longer being persecuted, they were going to be the Stillium Lundi. They were going to be the quiet in the land. They no longer needed the spirit of power. All they needed was the spirit of understanding. So they could understand the Word of God. They could teach their children. to understand the Word of God, to be born again and receive the Spirit of understanding. But if they would have had the Spirit of power, they wouldn't have been able to be the quiet in the land. They would have been going out in power, like Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go ye out and teach and preach." That is the spirit of power that God wants us to have today. He doesn't want us to be the quiet in the land. He wants us to have more than just a spirit of understanding. You know, when God told Noah to build that ark, God was empowering Noah to build that ark, to do his calling and his purpose that he had for him in life. And the same way with us, when we are empowered by the Spirit of God, God empowers us to do that work, that calling that God has for us, that purpose that God has for us in life. And our purpose and our calling may be something even way bigger than Noah had, which was his calling to build that big boat. And we want to abide alone. We want to do our thing. And we can choose to do that because God gave us choice. But when we choose to die, we choose to go into the earth and die, then God gives us his spirit of power. If we ask for that, if we must believe in order to receive that spirit of power, we must believe that there is a spirit of power, that there is more to it than just a spirit of understanding. As he says in Luke, we as fathers love to give good gifts to our children. He says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to those that ask? So God wants us to ask for that spirit of power. And God wants us to believe in faith, come believing that we will receive that spirit of power, that God does empower us, that God does call us to go out and to do great things for his kingdom. That is what the resurrection means to us today, because if it wouldn't have been for the resurrection, we'd still be in our sins. We couldn't be born again. We couldn't be alive in Jesus Christ. Paul asked a question in Romans 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he says emphatically, God forbid. No way. But if we're living in the Spirit, which we are in the Spirit dispensation, and as believers, we can live in the Spirit of life that Christ has put within us. We can live in that Spirit, and we can walk in that Spirit, and we shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That is empowering. You know, so many times we see ourselves living in sin. Is it because we want to abide alone? We want to do our own thing? We're selfish? It's a carnal nature? Paul says, that I may know Christ, that I may know the power of his resurrection. You know, that resurrection power is available to us today to live and to go out in power and to be overcomers. We are more than able, God says, to overcome. Not of ourselves, but because of the power that God puts within us when we just ask. It is so simple. And yet we make it so confusing sometimes. That, my friends, is what the resurrection of Jesus Christ means to us. It means victory. It means power. It means life. It means Satan is defeated. It means we have power over Satan in Jesus Christ. We stand in victory. And I praise God for that. Let's stand at this time for a closing prayer.